Hi, I'm Serena.
And I'm Rachel.
We're the hosts of Book Tales.
If you like reading books,
drinking cocktails,
and Scottish accents,
then meet your new favourite podcast.
Come with us as we explore different themes from romanticy to horror and everything in between.
We pair each book with a bespoke cocktail and tell you everything you'll need to make one.
And each week, play our fun game tailored to each book.
Find Book Tales wherever you get your podcasts. So grab your book.
Grab your booze.
For Book Tales.
Hi guys, I'm Bree.
And I'm Allie. This is Off Script.
If you think about it, books are potential scripts for movies.
When this adaptation happens, typically it's disappointing because they went off script.
In this series, we will be talking about how off script they went. Hello, hello, everyone.
Hi.
Welcome to Off Script.
Episode number 2 of The Magicians.
I'm Bree.
I'm Allie. And John is in the restroom.
Yep. So he's with us, but not currently.
Yes.
I'll paint our picture right now. We are recording this on John's last day in Washington before he flies back home for the holidays. And we have tickets to go to the Puyallup Fair's like Christmas lights. So we're trying to record it with us to be able to still get there in time.
So we're rushing.
Yeah. Running.
Let's do it.
All right.
So we will give you a trigger warning. This episode, there is a mention of rape in it.
Yes, there is.
It's very quick, but it is here.
Mm-hmm.
So there's your warning. Let's do it.
Let's.
Okay. So all the beginning info, same as before. So we're just doing comparison.
Mm-hmm. Let's go.
Book kicks off. Q, Elliot, Janet, and Julia are riding their horses, or Janet's riding this cat thing, through the forest. And they find this magical hair that can predict the future. And Janet's cat thing knocks her off. And they went and spooked by this tree. And Q went up to it to shoot an arrow at it. But the arrow slowed down and didn't hit the tree. So he realized there is so much magic coming off of this. And it stopped. Like, he went to go touch it, but the other stopped him. Gotta calm down.
I know. They do go and find the magical hair to try and predict the future, but the rest of that does not happen.
Yeah. And so when they got the hair, the guy who caught it was shot and killed. And the hair said one thing, and all it said was death. That was the magic.
Oh, yeah. And it wasn't really predicting the future.
It just said there's death coming.
Yeah. Death is coming.
So kings and queens sat in their daily meeting to talk about what the heck just happened. And they have no idea who killed this guy. But they had thrown an idea out there that it was the Lorien people, because Quentin said, well, because the Lorien people are like their enemies, sort of as enemies as Fillory could have. And Quentin said he's going to go to Lorien because they aren't paying their taxes anyway. So I'm going to go see what's up. And everyone's like, this is a really bad idea. But Julia's like, I'll go. Yeah, I can go with him. And before they went, Quentin and Elliot are chatting, and Elliot tells him how they found Julia.
In the show, Quentin is currently trying to figure out a way to fucking get Alice back. And so he's back in Breakbills, while Elliot and Margot are the ones in Fillory. Julia is also dealing with her hedge witch shit and finding an evil god. We'll talk about that later. But and so Elliot is the one who's going to Loria for their taxes. And it's not even, nope, because it's not that. Loria ends up coming to fucking Fillory to create an alliance, and Elliot falls in love with Loria's king.
Oh, yeah. So the kings and queens sit in their daily meeting. They're trying to talk about what just happened, and no one has any idea who killed this guy. And wait, we did this already. So it turns out Janet's parents had sent them to some like resort rehab thing. I don't know. And there they saw Julia, and she seemed like a druggie that she was trying to get sober. Elliot sees her one night do like this fire spell, and he saw her throw herself into the fire, and then he realizes she's magic, but she's never been to Breakbills because this is not Breakbills magic, and she's trying to do a summoning spell.
That does not happen in the show. Elliot doesn't like her because Elliot and Quentin had a brush with her in the hedges, and she was a bitch.
Yeah, you'll find a lot of differences with Julia.
There's a shit
for sure, but there are some callbacks to the books throughout her character's story in the TV show.
One of the biggest differences is in season 5 she gets pregnant with Penny's kid.
Oh yeah.
But I was telling John, like, on the second episode, I was like, oh, she's pregnant. They're like trying to hide her belly. And he was like, what? How can you tell? And I was like, by this, this, and this. And he goes, yeah, you're right. She was pregnant. Mm-hmm. And then like 2 episodes later, they are like, oh, you're pregnant. And I was like, oh my God, they did that because they got sick of hiding her belly.
So fun fact, I went to look up. Oh, because you had asked me if Reynard looks like a fox. And I was like, I can't remember if he did. And so I went to go find that episode, but I somehow was looking up and somehow said something. This was when we were on our trip to Westport. Typed in something about Julia pregnant. And then it came up. In season 5, Julia is pregnant. And I'm like, wow, because I wasn't done yet. I was like,
that's hilarious.
Dang it. So Quentin and Julia are getting ready for their quest, and they took a bunch of ships that were, they looked at a bunch of ships that were decent, but then they found one and they just loved it. And the guy's like, just so you know, this hasn't left harbor in many years. And they instructed him, fix it up. And Quentin also wanted them to have a good protector. So they began this competition. A bunch of people were fighting each other until the final contestants won, and he would accompany them on their ship. And they also collected this map guy, Benedict. Mm-hmm. So now they have their crew. And Elliot comes to say goodbye, and he lets him know the talking animals have also sent someone to be joining you.
Ironic, because in the show, Elliot is the one doing all this, and he's the one who's like, get me the best ship in Villery, and they find this one. And Benedict is a character.
Yeah. So we learn more of Julia's backstories and how she remembered break bills, even though her memory was wiped. Now we're getting all Julia's stuff that we got in season one.
Yeah, Julia's been a prominent character from the get-go. Basically, all of her story from this book is told in season 1.
Yes. So Quentin is having fun on the ship, and they go down to see what the sloth. Why are they called a sloth in the book?
What was that?
And the audiobook reader called it a sloth. You didn't notice that?
No. I thought he said sloth.
Either way, I'm sure it was a pronunciation thing. If anything, it's a sloth.
Okay.
Just made a tomato.
I guess so.
Never heard of sloth as sloth. Look at that sloth.
I know. Look in the books. Is that how do they spell it?
Yeah, John.
So they get to this island and they find this little girl, and she answers the door. And she's like, Mom.
I'm so mad she was not in the show.
Oh, yeah.
This is one of my favorite parts.
That's cute. So this woman makes passports or stamps the passports. And she found out they're the king and queen. She's like, oh, okay, let me give you a tour of the island. And Quentin was ready to get down to business. The woman was not very nice to her daughter, Eleanor. And the woman...
Oh, that's hilarious. Because Julia's baby at the end of season 5, when it's born, the doctor... professor, her name apparently is Eleanor, because she's like, oh, here's a little baby Eleanor.
Oh,
and I never would have remembered that. I just remembered that I love the little kid in this, and I wish that she still gave Q his passport.
Oh, well, the woman told them about this magic key, which is this area is famous for, but no one knows if it's real or not. And she warned them about leaving Fillory because the lands out there are a disaster. Next morning, Eleanor made Quentin his very own little passport. She drew it like a little kid would do.
Yeah, it was so cute. And he was like, why do I need this? And she's like, you will.
But he kept it.
Yeah, that does not happen in the show. But John, I do remember you telling me that the first part happens, just not
how it happens in the book.
Yeah, so they realize which island they need to go to. And that's correct. They find the islands that they go to are named identically. They end up going to that one first, and they find the key at the one that's mentioned in the book. That's all the same, the very first key they find. But yeah, they don't get a passport or anything like that.
Was it the woman who told them about it too, though?
The woman that they find on the island? No, that's different in the books. In the show, they find out about the key from a book that they find in the library.
Oh yeah. Oh, yeah, because there's this book that's like, being written as they find each different key, and each chapter is telling them, you must go to this. I forgot about that.
So this book flips between Fillory and flashbacks of Julia.
Mm-hmm.
So now we're on back on a flashback. And he, it's how, so she had noticed that her paper that she turned in was Wikipedia copied, and she never did that. So she knew something was wrong, and she was remembering bits and pieces of break bills. And eventually she got a bunch of acceptance letters to high-end colleges that she never even applied for. So something's up.
That happened?
In the books, yeah.
In the show?
No, that didn't happen in the show.
I didn't think so. I don't remember. I remember, I think she, after her acceptance, James was like, how's Yale going? And she's like, the fuck?
Yeah, in the show, she just has starts to slowly recall little bits and pieces of things from her memory there. And yeah, that's it. Mm-hmm.
So Quentin went to check on Julia to see if she wanted to hook up, because what? And she was super depressed and needed someone to help her. So she's having trouble remembering things the farther away from Fillory they're getting. So to help her calm down, he read the story, the magic key that the woman gave him. And this guy went on a quest to find this key. And one day he gave up and he went home to his daughter, who's now grown, and she hates him. And he just sat there and cried.
So in the show, this is Quentin and Julia's story. I was glad that in the show they never really tried to make Quentin and Julia hook up. But she also was never like super depressed, because she already went through that in season one.
Mm-hmm.
And the story was different, because the story was about, do you remember, John?
Yeah, so the key story was different, because instead of the father searching for the daughter in the books, in the show, the daughter searches for the father.
Yeah. And so she's the one finding the keys in the show.
Mm-hmm. So Quentin went outside with his protector. What was his name?
Nope.
It sounded like a clown, he said. It was like Bingle or something weird.
Yeah,
like
it was
that. Bingle. Oh, was it Bingle?
Yeah.
I thought of an elf. And they were like, it sounds like a clown.
Yeah.
Okay.
Bingle is the one that teaches them sword mastery over time. Quentin in the books, as the bodyguard, Quentin wants to learn a little bit more about how to wield. And later on, we find that the map maker,
Benedict,
is, while Quentin is away for a time, he comes back, and Benedict is the new protege of Bingle. And that is totally different than, obviously, the TV show. Yeah.
Freaking Benedict ends up dying.
Well, he dies
in the TV show, too.
He dies in the books, too, but totally different way. A more badass way. It takes an arrow versus, how does he die again in the TV show?
The dragon.
Yep. Embarrassingly, he just kind of just goes, he's possessed, he jumps
he's
off.
He's holding the key, because all the fucking keys in the show, too, each, if you're holding it, something happens. Like, one of them, you can see the truth. So Penny dies, but is stuck on an astral plane, and so they can see him and communicate with him that way. And then one of them, basically, you see your depressed self just sitting there telling you how horrible you are. And so Benedict is holding that key and jumps off a boat and gets eaten by a dragon.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But and also the difference there is that the key quest in the books is with Quentin. The key quest in the show, it begins very much with Elliot, and Elliot is an integral part of the key quest moving forward. So it's Bingle's Bingle's Elliot's bodyguard, essentially.
Yep.
And there's no trial by combat to find the bodyguard in the TV show. But there is a trial by combat later on in the show for a totally different reason.
Yep, with main characters in the trial.
Trying to off each other.
Yeah.
But it was a full-on female BA moment they had to put in there.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so they finally get to after island where they're going, and they're like, do you know anything about these golden keys? And they're like, yeah, they're right down there. And they're like, that was really easy. And they go down there, and Q found it, picked it up, and pretended to turn it in an imaginary lock, and it sucked him and Julia through a door, and they're back in Brooklyn in front of his parents' house.
Yeah, that doesn't happen either. The key always makes a door, and it's always like, I mean, I guess it is to random places like that, but it doesn't happen with them because it's always Elliot. And it's Elliot, Fenn, and their fake fairy daughter. Because Elliot and Fenn got pregnant. Fairies come, are assholes, make a deal with Margot that they want Elliot and Fenn's baby. And Margot, to save Elliot's life, is like, yep, okay, that's fine. So then the fairies take the baby and then trick them and are like, look, this is your daughter. She's a teenager now. And hang out,
like,
with her.
It was like not even a year later. Yeah. They're like, time runs differently in Fairyland.
Yeah. And so they then hang out with this chick. Fenn's fallen in love with her because she's like, oh, you're my daughter. And then you find out that, no, your kid died in childbirth. And this is just some random human
that they named
a fucking fragile or
frail
human.
So what'd they call her?
Frey.
Oh, gosh. All right. So Julia's flipping out because she needs to get back to Villery. Q convinces her, let's go to Breakbills and Fog can help us. And then they take Quentin back, or he takes Quentin back to chat for a little bit. And he reveals, Quentin's tries to be really like not say anything about Villery. Fog sent them a portal home. He's like, leave this. This hedge witch is not allowed in here. And Q's like, this was pointless. And Julia's like, it wasn't out here because she got information that she needed.
That does not happen. And also, Fog is such an integral part of the TV show. He's in almost every episode.
Yes.
Whereas in the books, he was there only like a few times. Mm-hmm.
So flashbacks on Julia. She's learning magic. She finally found something online and she stayed up practicing it. Then she went to the roof so she could do it big. And she went back to her computer, but the documents were gone because that's what happened. And she just cried.
Again, all this basically happened in season one.
So Julia brought Q to a safe house for hedge witches, and he had to do this test to get in that he almost failed because he's trying to do hedge witch magic. Finally, he's like, whatever, screw this. I'm going to do Breakbills magic. And he passed. So Julia is the highest level of hedge witch out there, basically. And they then had to go to Italy to find someone to get back into Villery.
Q never does any tests for the hedge witches. And also, Julia never really gets to the highest level of hedge witch. She does get fucking good at it, but she doesn't climb the ranks.
Have star tattoos all over her.
Yeah, because she gets kicked out of the hedges because she doesn't fall in line with Marina. And then they don't go to Italy.
Nope. Back to flashbacks with Julia. And she was searching for Quentin to find out if Breakbills was real. And when she found out it was, she got super depressed.
That doesn't happen. She never really searches for Quentin. Like, they find each other all the time.
They're in this spooky room, and this voice tells them, look in the bowl. And red flags are going up. Quentin's like, no, this is scary. It's weird. And he knocks the bowl all over trying to leave, and it turns out they're in Josh's house. So we find Josh again, and Julia and went to go take a bath, because Josh is like, welcome, calm down, hang out. And he catches them up on everything. And turns out he sold the button, because the Netherlands are broken. And Josh told them the whole story. This dragon reached out to him and said, hey, I'm going to buy this for $250 million. And Josh is like, oh, okay. And so I don't know. And Q's like, how do we get the dragon? He's like, I don't know. The dragon called me, but I know someone who might. And his friend Poppy comes.
I love Poppy. And Poppy is not who she is in the show.
The dragon in the canal was the same in the show. Well, I mean, there's several dragons in the show, and I mean, it's hinted at that there are many, many dragons, just like in the books. Mm-hmm. And there's similarities there. Mm-hmm. But there are also differences with why they go to the dragons and what happens when they interact with them and stuff like that.
Yeah. Also, Josh freaking was one of the people who was stuck in the Netherlands. And so they kind of found them, and then he's gone for a whole season, basically. And so they don't find Josh and catch up with him. And Poppy's a fucking assassin, murderous weirdo.
Dragon lover.
Yeah, dragon lover. Ugh. Who wants to have a dragon baby. That was John's breath of Disappointment.
So Poppy's telling them how to get in contact with dragons, and they have to jump into this river, which is freezing. And then when they do, the dragon pulled Quentin down and talks to him. Basically, he says, you need to prepare to lose because I'm not giving you this button. And he gives him a clue on how to prepare, and then he shoos Quentin away.
Dude. So the first dragon that Quentin and Julia encounter in the show takes them, or like allows them to go to the underworld for an hour because they have to find Julia's shade, because Julia lost her shade, which she does do in the book, but she never gets it back.
No.
Whereas in the show, they go to the underworld to find it, but instead they find Alice's shade in the underworld because Alice is back with them now after Q has tried so hard to get her back, and she's back and she's a bitch because she doesn't have her shade. And Julia, who hasn't been feeling things because she doesn't have her shade, sees how happy it makes Q that he gets to talk to Alice's shade. And so Julia makes a quick decision, is like, we're bringing back Alice's shade in me, and we're going to give it to Alice.
So we have some more of Julia's backstory. She found this online support group, and it led her from clue to clue to clue to finally officially find this group. It's very secretive. They don't know each other's whereabouts, their names, or anything. So one day, she went searching for something and ended up sitting on a doorstep, and she's just crying because she's exhausted. And the door opens, and there was magic emanating from this house.
Basically, in the show, in season one, this guy finds Julia because Julia has basically gone into a mental rehab place. And this guy finds her, is like, oh, you're a hedge witch. We're hedge witches too. Let me help you. We are here to find Our Lady Underground.
So in the books, the free traders of Free Trader Beowulf is so much more integral to Julia's storyline. It's hinted at a couple times in the show, especially at early seasons where, you know, you meet the group, and the group is not the same, right? They're missing Asmodeus because, as I mentioned in the earlier podcast, Katie is a combination of Asmodeus as well as Amanda Orloff. So Asmodeus isn't there, and she was like one of the biggest members of the Free Trader Beowulf in the books. And it was really just like early on, she used it as kind of like a emotional therapy type place, because there's a bunch of similar minded intellectuals who were kind of just friends on a anonymous platform, but come to find out it wasn't anonymous. Everyone but Julia already knew each other in the real world and lived in the same house. Later on, she becomes obviously invited to that. In the show, she is introduced to them through Richard pretty early on as a real life group, and they call themselves Free Trader Beowulf, and yeah, that's how that whole storyline progresses towards finding the Lady Underground, wanting to summon her and so forth. We know the striking differences between them, but also pretty similar nonetheless.
Yeah.
Cool. Now I can skip all the Julia parts. You just did it for me.
Okay. So they're trying to figure out the dragon's clue, because it said the first door. And they had no idea what this means, but Julia comes in. She's like, it's the Chatwin house, because that was the first door of Hillary. They all agree. Josh makes this portal, and they go there. So they don't go to the Plover house because he's never been to Plover house because he's never been to Fillory. They go to find the Chatwin house, and they begin the tour, and they find this clock, and it didn't work. And so they're sitting there, and a little boy named Thomas comes out, and he's like, you need such and such to make it work. And Q and Poppy follow him, but they couldn't figure it out. So they took a little break, and they played some games, and one of the games they played was High C, and all of a sudden, the bed they were playing on started floating, and it was a boat in the Fillory. They were back in Fillory.
Dude. Okay, in season one, they go on this tour of the house, and there's ghosts there, and the ghosts are stuck in a time loop, and in the time loop, you find out that Christopher Plover was a pedophile to the Chatwin children.
You knew that in the books, too. Mm-hmm.
I never picked up that he was a pedophile.
They say that he is with Martin.
What?
I'll get to it. It's the next book.
I did not get that from the books, and so this whole time I was very upset.
Oh.
Well, now, drop all that weight of upsetness.
Yeah.
Lover
yeah,
is,
but that's better. Not why he turned into the beast, right?
Not in the books, no.
Okay, that's what I thought. In the shows, it's because of that.
Well,
I might have been a partial thing, but that wasn't the main reason.
Yeah, yeah.
He became the beast in the show and got some revenge on Plover in the show after becoming the beast, but it didn't play like the most important role. I think it was very similar to the books. He wanted to remain in Fillory and he wanted to figure out how. And I think in the TV show, it takes it more steps further. Obviously, he wants to have more control over Fillory and power over in Fillory. And so he becomes the beast that way through that. But yeah, in the books, you can't stay in Fillory long. You get kicked out by Ember.
That's true.
And so he was like, no, this is my land. I love this place. I love it through and through. I want to be here. I don't want to get kicked out. I need to figure out a way. And he started getting less and less invited. And he would see his siblings all going and having a great time. And especially as you got older, you got less and less invited, obviously, as well, because it's kind of like it's a place for kids to get invited to more so than adults. And obviously, that's a striking difference in the books versus the show. And he eventually just gets enough power to basically keep Ember in check. And that is something he does in both the book and the show. They're afraid of the beast.
So they met up with Elliot, who's been manning the ship, and they're learning everything that's been happening in Fillory. And it's been a year here, but 3 days in the real world. And they realize that Elliot's on a quest to get all these 7 keys. And he currently has 4 of them. And they're like, hey, we had one, but it disappeared. They don't know where it is. So they join him on the quest and they find the final keys.
So there's never like any separation of this is mine and Julia's quest. Oh, no, now it's Elliot's in the show. It starts and they're like, oh, we're going to have to use Elliot for help because there's keys in Fillory and then there's keys here, so we'll work together.
So then we have the Julie backstory that John did a very good job at. Mm-hmm. I'm just gonna skip it.
Yeah.
Okay. So we have the map guy Benedict. He was so happy when they returned. And Poppy's like, hey, cute, he sees you as a father figure. That's so sweet. And they go exploring for this new land and they claimed it as part of Fillory. And Quentin finds Umber. And they no, he didn't find Umber yet. He must have found Ember.
Yeah.
Ember is a surprise at the end.
Yeah.
Okay, so he finds Ember and they chat. And then he leaves and realizes he's on the other side of the island. And it's nighttime because Ember never died from the previous book when we thought he did, I guess. Mm-hmm. And so it's nighttime. But when he went in, it was sunrise. So he's like, what is happening right now? And so this whole battle breaks out. He got slashed with a sword and Quentin's party comes to help and Julia gets huge. Poppy's really good with magic and they ended up meeting the dad from the story. What?
A fucking big difference between TV show and book that I haven't mentioned yet that I'm like, what the fuck? The whole reason they're searching for these keys is because the keys are going to be what brings back magic into the world. Because magic is now basically gone because Quentin and Julia have killed gods.
They killed Ember.
Yeah.
Or they tried to.
Didn't they kill Ember and Umber?
Not yet.
Oh, not yet. Just Ember. Okay. So Quentin killed Ember.
In the show, they killed both.
Yeah. That's what I thought. They killed Ember and Umber in the show. And then because of that, now magic's gone.
Okay.
And so they need to get the keys to access the wellspring or whatever.
Yeah, they get the keys to go to the end of the world and there's a castle there and they need the all 7 keys to go into this mechanism. And once that's turned, all 7 keys are turned, then the flow of magic returns. And it's in the show that the you know, after that, immediately, like, the library steps in and takes control of magic in the show after that. But in the books, it's not like that. Obviously, there's no castle. Instead, it's just a doorway. And the doorway with the seven keys, it leads to the other side of Fillory.
Yep.
The underside, if you would.
So they end up meeting the dad from the key story. And turns out the story's wrong and he sucks. And he abandoned his family. And that's why the daughter doesn't like him anymore. And he's begging, please, just tell me what the keys does. And Quinn's like, I don't know what they do yet. And Benedict the map maker dies in battle.
They never meet the dad or the daughter in the show.
In the TV show, he doesn't die in battle. He kind of just dies while being on or by the ship from an arrow from a long, far distance. No. I'm talking about in the books.
Oh.
In the books, he doesn't die in battle. He kind of just is like hit by an arrow while he's on or by the ship. And there's really no enemies on or by the ship. He just gets hit by an arrow. So yeah, it's kind of sad for him, but also sad for him in the TV show. He doesn't have a good...
Better than in the TV show.
Yeah, he wasn't in the battle, but the battle was going and he was sad. So Julia's backstory. She's part of their crew now. She needs to pass 77 different magic levels to get in. It took her nearly a day to do it, but she did it. And then she's getting real good. And she's like to level 250. And they're like, that's all. And she's not happy about that.
She did in the show get to a point where no one was able to teach her anything else.
Uh-huh.
But she didn't have all the tattoos to show it.
Yep. So then they had a funeral for Benedict and Quentin and Poppy hooked up. And then they're going back to Earth. Or she said she's going back to Earth. And they decided to try one of the keys, see if it works. And it ended up bringing them to the Netherlands. And it like sucked them in. And Q's freaking out because he knows where she's going, grabs her hand, but he gets pulled in too. And he tried to make the door not shut, but he couldn't. And they were sucked into the deep winters of the Netherlands. But then they see someone coming.
In the show, they don't have a funeral for Benedict because no one really cares about the poor guy.
So sad.
I know, the poor dude. He was from did you realize he's from the show that I love that I told you to watch with Zoe, the playlist?
Oh yeah, Zoe's been in a playlist.
Yeah
I recognized him from something.
He like plays her. He plays someone that's not cared about in that show too.
Aww.
Yeah, but I love him. And then the rest of that does not happen because Poppy's a psychopath who just comes in for two episodes, is gone, and then comes back for one.
The person coming was Penny, and he's like a super magician now, and he has these like these magic hands, and
he's a master magician in the books, likely because you know, we can basically assume that because it's mentioned in the show that all head librarians are. Master magician, so he is that probably most likely in the books
because he works at the library now, and he had a warmth spell going around so Poppy and Q could stay warm. And
wait, and then in the show or in the books, the library is like in the Netherlands.
Yeah,
and in the show, it's not necessarily in the Netherlands.
It's like its own thing.
It seems to be kind of a part of or connected to, obviously connected to. But whenever they showed, I don't know if you guys recall this, but every time they would cut to a scene where someone or some or a few people are in the Netherlands, it would be like these rocks and asteroids. And then that was kind of the same thing that they showed it for the library. So I guess maybe it is assumed that the library is in the Netherlands, but it's not. There's never a scene where you can see the Netherlands and the fountains and so forth and then a massive library. Every time you go to the library, you're inside the library, so you don't actually get to see the outside. So
yep. That's true.
Yep.
Warmth.
Oh, okay. So he's floating. He's master magician now, and he let them know the gods are taking magic because they're pissed that something happened. What happened in the books?
Well, in the show, the plumber came. The plumber came, and after the gods were killed, the plumber came and turned off magic. Yeah. there's like a literal plumber that comes through and turns off the pipes, so to speak, that works for assumed works for the old gods, to stop letting the children, the little humans, have access. And in the books,
I can't remember either. I feel like it's I think they're pissed about something with
Julia. Oh, that she summoned, what's his name?
Oh,
Reynard.
Yeah. Okay, so Julia ends up, we find out in a backstory that she summons this god, and they're pissed that he came because he's like a trickster bad god guy. Mm-hmm. And so that's why they're mad, I think. So Penny said, we need 7 keys. And they're like, we have 6 of the 7 keys. And Penny's like, awesome, we're taking over now. And Kuhn was not happy about this. And he's like, no, we're not letting you do that.
Mm-hmm. I said, like, that happened. That does not happen in the show at all. Also, Penny is a fucking, he's a main character of the show. And so none of this has happened because he's been an integral part of all of the other stories that are happening. And he's not a master magician.
Nope, not yet.
Not what? Ever.
Well, I guess we can.
Oh, I guess he does work for the library.
He becomes like he gets promoted several times through the library.
But he's dead.
Yeah, but that doesn't mean he can't learn and become a master magician nonetheless, even if he's dead.
I guess.
So he very well could be a master magician at some point, but I don't think he ever necessarily. We don't see him do too much magic in the show when he's dead.
Yeah,
so true. Who's to say?
Okay, so Julia's flashback, and everyone's talking about if gods are real, and she's like, I don't believe in like religion at all. And they're like, no, look at all this information about different gods. And she did more research, and she discovered, okay, maybe this is true. And Amadeus, it's like Asmodeus, it's like, I found one, look, I had a scar and it's gone, she cured it. I'd be like, okay, lady.
I know, right? In the show, they basically trick Julia and, like, have her do this thing with this chick who can't talk. And so she goes into her mindscape and is talking to her. And then she, like, oh, wait, no, but before that, it's because she did a spell. And the spell, like, essentially made her feel like the Lady Underground was in her presence. And so then she's like, oh, I believe this. And then she goes to the chick who can't talk, but in the mindscape she can. And she's like, please kill me. And Julia's like, this is fucked. I don't want to be doing this.
So Q's taking care of Julia because she's basically dying. And he goes to talk with the sloth on deck, and she shares how there's an underworld. And he feels guilty because Benedict died without realizing that these keys are important. So Quentin was very interested in figuring out how to get down there. She told him there's a slide. He went to the slide, and the little boy's like, yeah, I know you're not dead. And he needed a passport to enter, so he had a passport that Eleanor gave him. And Julia shows up, and no one paid any attention to her. And he's walking around, they see Fenn, and eventually they find Benedict and start chatting with him.
So Quentin and Julia do go to the underworld, just not like this. Okay. Also, they don't find Benedict because Benedict dies way later.
So Benedict was very sad and bitter about dying. At first, he wishes them to lose their quest. But then eventually he pulls out the key and says, I took it. Here it is. You can have it. And Julia is still invisible, but now the shades are coming for Q. So they realize, oh, something's wrong with Julia. And Benedict tries to help. But Julia uses the staff. She goes all divine. She summoned the goddess and helped them escape. And Quentin tried to save Benedict, but he couldn't.
That's funny. What did Benedict have in the show? Because he actually did have something when he died.
The key.
Oh, it was the key?
Yeah, and Penny meets him down there and asks for it.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Mm-hmm. And Benedict, like, sends Penny on a quest. And then Penny's like, oh, my God, I know where it's at. And then he goes back to Benedict and was like, give me the key.
Aww. So Julia's backstory, she realizes Pouncy is like one of the other people, and she really wanted to sleep with him, and she does, and she's like, oh, I actually like it. It's not like a chore like before. And so they all begin to figure out how to log on to their old website, and the passwords have changed, but they got it. Finally, they log on and start instant messaging each other, planning to summon a goddess. And Julia lists everything that can go wrong in this plan. And everyone's like, oh, We're going to summon a goddess. If something goes wrong, she'll be forgiving. It's okay. They do the little ritual, and Julia immediately realizes something's not right. She wants to stop the ritual, but it's too late. And here comes Renard, the trickster god, and he kills everyone. Finally, it's just Julia, Pouncy, and what's her name?
Asmodeus.
Asmodeus. And they're like, you had your sacrifices. Now give us what we want. And he's like, those weren't sacrifices. You guys tried to kill me. Or something like that. They all died in battle or whatever. Mm-hmm. So Pouncy's like, okay, I'll sacrifice myself. He's like, you're about to die. That doesn't count. And Julie's like, fine, I'll sacrifice myself. And Pouncy ended up dying. And this is when the fox god raped Julia. And she felt like he took something from her. Then she felt like a god-like powers and was lifted away.
I never liked Julia.
Me either. I'm so glad.
Reading it, I was like, God, you're annoying. And then this happened and I felt like shit. And I was like, I get why you are the way you are. And then after this, that's when I started to like her. And I was like, okay.
I still didn't like her.
No, I did. Because I was like, I get it. Obviously, I don't because I've never been in that situation. But goddamn, that's royally fucked. Especially if you watch the show and she gets raped by this guy. And then pregnant with his god baby and then has to go through getting an abortion of it when he doesn't want her to. And like he then finds his other kid from another lady he did this to and like tries to get him to rule with him. And the show just went crazy with this whole storyline.
Yeah, there's a whole other storyline attached to that. But I don't think there's anything wrong with it. I think that the show, you know, really plays on the story of the book very well and then adds on to it. I mean, how can you make five seasons of a TV show with 13 episodes, all 45 minutes long, of a book series that's three books long that, you know, it wouldn't be enough. So they go into a lot more detail per character on an individual basis for character development, way more than the books did. And they obviously go on and add on to storylines like that one to kind of have another say you know take it let's take it one step further and see where we go and see how that plays out in this new portrayal of the story. So it's its own thing.
I think they should have stuck to the books. And maybe expand on some of the things that happened in the book. Because I do agree the book went a little too quick. There were some things that I was like, damn, I wish we knew more about this. Like, explain this a little bit more. Instead of just getting shit thrown at you in the show. Boom, boom, boom.
They're brought from the underworld by this goddess. And they lay down, relax a little bit. Julia tells Quentin everything. They are on the ship. And Julia talks to the ship to see if it has any more muster to go. And it does. And they're finally where they're supposed to be. Quentin turns on all the keys. He was instructed to turn them all. And they progressively got more difficult to turn. Finally, he saved magic. And they had the option to go through the portal door on the other side of the world. Sword guy leaves. Bimble. And Quentin goes to leave. But
Bingle.
What did I say? Bimble. Quentin goes to leave, but he doesn't have a passport. And then so they won't let him through. Julia wants to go, but they're like, no, this is all your fault. And Quentin's like, hey, it's not her fault. If I had actually held up my end of the deal and brought her back to break bills, this wouldn't have happened. So I'll take the blame. And they're like, OK, so Julia could go through. And Quentin was banished from Fillory. Poppy and Josh took over as king and queen. And Quentin goes back to Earth.
So when they get all of the keys, they take it to where they're trying to take it. But Alice is freaked out. There's also a demon there that like, oh, because the demon's there and has a keeper that like is keeping the demon there. It's not a demon. It's a god. And so there's a keeper there who doesn't want to be there anymore. So Quentin's like, okay, when we do this, I will trade spaces with you because you've helped us. And so he's going to end up staying with this god to play games with him and stay and keep him preoccupied here in this little prison area. And so they're getting ready to put the keys in and Elliot goes and kills the demon with a gun. and then runs with Q away. But the demon is like, nope, or not demon, God. It's like, just because I don't have that body doesn't mean I can't get another body. And he possesses Elliot. And right before they can get all the keys in the door and do its thing, Alice melts all the keys. But then the librarians come and they're like, ooh, we are the ones who save magic. Okay, go ahead.
You're forgetting when Julia, as a goddess,
Julia as a goddess,
recreates the keys, because the storyline about the origin of the keys is never discussed in the books. The origin of the keys is something that was discussed only in the show. And that was, I believe, Prometheus, who was the husband of another goddess that they meet in the show, because they find her and they
Arlene, that's how, underground.
No, that was Hades. Oh, that's Hades's.
Yeah, Hades' wife is Our Lady Underground, but that other chick.
Yep. And they find her as like a businesswoman or something. Mm-hmm. And they are talking. She describes how they were created. Basically, he used all his power, all his god power, to create the keys. And he was later killed because he no longer had powers, because and his enemies knew he was vulnerable. So basically, Julia does exactly the same thing. She pushes all her power into the palms of her hand to create new keys, 7 of them. And every single one, it hurt her more and more, draining her more and more. And she lost all her power. She had no magic at all. And she was still basically immortal. Nothing could really hurt her for that time. But she had no magic abilities. And they put in the 7 keys. They turn on the stream of magical flow, essentially, and that the plumber had it turned off. And the librarians just show up with their traveler and, you know, take control of the stream. So
you also reminded me, freaking Julia gets all of her goddess powers way early in the show. Like, she gets to be a goddess for a really long time doing all this cool shit, and then she does this and loses all of her goddess powers. And I kept waiting, because I was like, Julia leaves and goes and is a goddess of the dryads and the trees and everything in the books.
She didn't last very long as a goddess in the show. It was only like a few episodes, really.
I know, but it's longer than in the books. Or it's
No. In the books, she's goddess for a long time.
I was going to say, it's sooner. It happens sooner in the show than it does in the books.
But it's a shorter period.
And then it's for a short period of time. But you get to see her doing more with her goddess powers. Whereas in the books, it's like, oh, you're a goddess now?
Yeah, goodbye. But that's because the books... It's like I was describing earlier. It's the character development and the individual storylines that you get to see more of in the show versus this is really Quentin's perspective mostly. That's throughout true. Throughout the series of the books.
That's true. All right. Well, that was book 2.
All right, thank goodness. Okay.
Hey, that one was only an hour.
Woohoo.
After I cut it down, it'll be quicker.
Got it.
Thank you guys. That was fun.
Yeah, thank you. You still have one more episode to do with us.
No, I don't. I'm kidding.
Okay, we're going to have a quick potty break and then...
Yep, and then we'll be back.
All right, bye.
Bye.
Thanks for sticking with us.
We hope you enjoyed it.
If you did, we would greatly appreciate it if you gave us 5 beautiful stars, reviewed, and subscribed.
You can also follow us on Facebook at Offscript, on Instagram at OffscriptPodcast21, and on TikTok at Offscript_pod.
Shoutouts to Madame Ashen Creations for our adorable logo art,
and Adam Daniel for our incredible theme song,
and to Creative Cinephile Productions for producing our podcast.
See you next time.
And I'm Rachel.
We are the hosts of Book Tales.
If you like reading books,
drinking cocktails,
and Scottish accents,
then meet your new favourite podcast.
Come with
with us as we explore different themes from romanticism to horror and everything in between.
We pair each book with a bespoke cocktail and tell you everything you'll need to make one.
And each week, play our fun game tailored to each book.
Find Booktales wherever you get your podcasts. So grab your book.
Grab your booze.
For Booktales! Book